Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Today's show, as always, is brought to you by Built Bar. A bit of an announcement on them here in a bit. Pete, you had a nice three-day weekend, and have you reconsidered doing your show here regularly with a fascist?
Yes, every day of this three-day weekend, But Anthony, I reconsider doing this show with you two or three times a week. So it's, you just call it Monday.
This is just like a new reason. Yeah. It's just like another thing to add to the list.
Yeah, you know.
Did you ever get caught up on Too Hot to Handle?
Absolutely not.
That's another reason. All right, today's show, we actually have plenty of stuff to get to. According to Brian Windhorst, there is a, quote, really good chance the NBA elects to go with a 16-team playoff and no regular season. That would make sense. It doesn't make any sense to send teams that have no chance of making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I could see them trying to make up the difference and maybe go for those teams that are, you know, say a game out or a couple games out of a playoff spot. Maybe you send those guys, but the teams that are all the way out have no chance. Mm-hmm. Why risk getting hurt? Why risk? Why add more variables to this already insane situation and proclamation of playing basketball in the middle of a global pandemic? Just let those teams kind of do their thing and get their offseason underway. It would also make for a fun lottery scenario. Like, I don't know. Like, if you want to add some, like, if those teams are kind of bummed that they can't participate or something like that, which I don't know why they would be. Maybe find some fun way for them to all do the lottery together or something.
Right.
But other than that, though, I think heading right into a 16-team playoff with no regular season games played, and then he added that there's a chance that they would potentially reseed teams 1 through 16, which is even more interesting, I think, than the news itself. So we're going to talk a little bit about what that would mean for the Lakers. And then, you know, because today was a holiday or yesterday was a holiday, I did not get into the mailbag. So Pete and I have a handful of questions to answer there. Let's start, though, with a fun, stupid, hypothetical question. Are you ready for it?
Let's do it.
So if the NBA was to reseed teams 1 through 16, would you want it just done 1 through 16? Would you still care about conferences? Like, would you, and is this something like, have you wanted this? Since we're going to be talking about it anyway, have you wanted this to be the thing all along anyway?
Yeah, I've always advocated for the 1 through 16 reseeding. I think the nature of travel and all of that has changed since the initial conceptualization of Western Conference and Eastern Conference. It's a lot more doable. I think it makes for, you know, more interesting cross matches, and there's certainly a, you know, traditionalist side of me that's like, you know, would the Lakers play the Celtics in the third round of the playoffs or something, or the second round? That seems weird, you know. I don't love that, but I do like the idea of going 1 through 16. However, I don't agree with doing it in the middle of the year. I think that if you're going to do that, that should be something that everybody goes into the season under the same pretense. And I know obviously there's been this unforeseen disruption, but I think that I think they should maintain the conferences and the conference seating this year and look to do this change down the line. That said, the way that this would shake out would be pretty good for the Lakers. So yeah, I wouldn't complain.
Shut up, Pete.
Simply on a conceptual basis, I think they should wait. On a Lakers basis, hell yeah, bring it on. Let the Celtics and the Clippers cannibalize each other in the second round, you know?
I mean, I looked at the bracket. So I have this saved in my Twitter DMs or whatever, and I'm looking for the tweet. So if this thing was to actually go out, so Milwaukee's the top seed, the Lakers are the 2 seed, Toronto would be the 3 seed, the Clippers would be the 4 seed, Boston would be the 5, Denver 6, Utah 7, Miami 8, OKC 9, Houston 10, Indiana 11, Philadelphia 12, and then where's 13? Okay, there's Dallas at 13, Memphis at 14, Brooklyn at 15, and Orlando at 16. If this was the way it would all play out, the Clippers and Bucks would be on the same side of the conference. We wouldn't have to see, we would only have to see only one of those teams, which mm-hmm. would be fantastic. The Lakers would be on the same side as the Toronto Raptors. Boston would be on the same side with Milwaukee and LAC. And Philly, who I think is kind of an interesting matchup if they ever got their crap together, was one of, I think, the more underrated matchups for the. But if you look at the Lakers side, Brooklyn's pretty weak, unless Kevin Durant decides randomly that he wants to play, right? Houston, I think the Lakers in the seven-game series match up well with Houston. Utah's pretty broken down at this point. Denver, I think not only do I feel like the Lakers have their number, but I feel like Denver kind of knows that the Lakers have their number.
Yeah. They're just not athletic enough in the front court. Yeah, it's just a bad matchup.
Yeah, and then you have Indiana, Memphis, and Toronto. That is an incredibly pro-Lakers side of the conference.
Very much so. Very much so, man. I would not be mad at any of that.
I want to pick up, though, on, you've made a couple points here that I'm kind of interested to kind of expand on. You talked about, you know, if the Lakers would have faced the Celtics in the third round, what that would mean and stuff. I want to come back to that, though, here in a bit. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Again, it's Built Bar. Head on over to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. Save $10 off your first order. They have a few limited release flavors right now. They have blueberry lemon, pineapple upside down cake, peanut butter banana, and coconut pecan pie. The all of these, you know, flavors are made with real ingredients. The blueberry lemon, real blueberries, real pineapples, real bananas, and real peanuts, real coconut, and real pecans for the coconut pecan pie. And it shows. It just really does show how good these bars can be. Avery is screaming in the background right now because she wants a Built Bar herself and is frustrated because she doesn't have the teeth to process the bars in a way that we do. Again, that's BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. Save $10 off your first order. They have these special flavors right now, but if you want to go with the traditionals, you can go with the traditionals, and it's delivered right to your doorstep, and the bars are just incredible. Especially, you know, my personal favorite is to put them in the refrigerator, cool them down a little bit, and make them refreshing now that we're heading towards the summer. One more time, BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. Save $10 off your first order. BuiltBar.com. LOCKEDON is your promo code. Let's get back to the show. I actually like that the Lakers could play the Celtics in a non-final series.
Yeah.
Like, that just means, because right now, so one of the reasons I think the Dodgers and Giants rivalry means, I'm not going to say more to me than Lakers Celtics, but I feel like it's a little different in the sense that the Dodgers see the Giants some 57 times over the course of a regular season, right? And with the Celtics and the Lakers, we see them twice unless they face off in the finals. Right. And I would like more of that. And I think if you're going to generate animosity, getting the two organizations to face each other a little bit more often would be a good way to do so. So if this just increases the odds or the possibility that the Lakers and Celtics play each other in a final, in a playoff series, or more often in any given series, I am all for that. I want more Lakers playoff games against Boston. I think it'd be a lot of fun regardless if it's in the finals or not.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of how you look at it, right? There's that way of looking at it, which is totally fine. It's just not where I come from, which is, I like that they don't face each other 57 times a year the way that the Dodgers and Giants do, because it means every time that they do is special. Right. Mm-hmm. Two games a year. It's only twice. We got our asses whipped in that first one. LeBron closed it out with that fadeaway at the end of the second one. Each team, we won 1-1 against them. But like, meeting the Celtics in the regular season always matters because it's only twice. And then meeting them in the playoffs, is for the ultimate prize. It's good versus evil. It's you know, like, think of, you know, it would, if, oh God, I'm going out of my comfort zone. If, like, Luke battled Darth Vader, right, 30 minutes into the movie, you know, like, what are we doing here? So that's just where I'm coming from. I see where you're coming from. It's just not me.
I mean, that those movies where that happens are always fun because Vader beats Luke's ass all the time. Like, I'm not saying that that's actually how it happened or whatever, but no, I'm trying to think, because they do kind of sort of meet. Vader kills Obi-Wan. Spoiler alert, everybody. but Vader kills Obi-Wan, and then Luke spends the entire movie, like, training to beat Vader.
Right, and then do they fight at the end of it? I don't remember.
Yeah, they do, and then Vader wipes his ass, like, wipes his ass with, right, Luke again.
Right, but the point is that they fight at the end.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say, though, is that, so, honest question, do you think LeBron, AD, or really any of the Lakers, maybe Quinn Cook, right, because he's more of a local kid, do you think any of the Lakers care about the Lakers-Celtics rivalry?
From a Lakers-Celtics standpoint, probably not. No, not of the current guys. LeBron has his own rivalry with the Celtics.
Yes.
That I do think that being a Laker probably adds an additional layer to it, to something that already exists for him.
And that's a rivalry only in the way that, like, there's a quote-unquote rivalry between Serena Williams and Maria Sharapova.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And then, you know, AD vocally did not want to go to Boston. His pops talked some shit about them. Mm-hmm. They are not fans because, you know, I remember Woj getting the vapors because Boston will finally have their chance to trade for Anthony Davis. Dun, dun, dun. Like, he was so excited, like, at the possibility of that. Yeah. And so there's some rivalry personally there, but it's not necessarily because they're Lakers. Although the fact that they have rivalries makes them more Lakery to my book, in my book, right? Like, oh, you already hate Boston? Welcome. Come on in. You know, like, you guys, this is the place for you. Join us.
No, I like it. I like it. The reason I bring that up is because, like, I think it would be cool if there was legitimate animosity between Lakers players and Celtics players, which doesn't really exist right now.
I see what you're saying.
You kind of drive that animosity because athletes are creatures of habit, right?
Sure. Or,
you know, you get more comfortable. You get more comfortable hating a team. You get more comfortable, and you add to the equation that already exists for LeBron and AD or whatever, the fact that they, you know, personally dislike Marcus Smart or, you know, Jaylen Brown. Remember, Jaylen Brown dunked on LeBron. You think LeBron's thing, you know, think about that, you know, if he does it a couple times, if he gets to see him a little more often, right? Yeah, like, that's all. So, yeah, I think you make really good points regarding, you know, how special an occasion it is for us. Right. When the Lakers and Celtics play as rarely as they do. But I think what I consider more important for me is, hey, can I get LeBron to feel about the Celtics the way I feel about the Celtics for Lakers reasons, not just because of everything that they kind of represent.
Yeah, it's something where it's a great point, and those rivalries are the best types of rivalries, right?
Like, yeah,
we don't hate the Celtics just because they are the Celtics. We hate the Celtics because of all we've gone through against the Celtics, good and bad. So it's an earned thing, but I don't think you can fake that, right? I don't think that four regular season games or a best of seven series in the second round, like, it approximates that, but it's not the same. Like, the Cavs and Golden State, for example, those teams, those guys, like, the dynamic between LeBron and Steph is glorious because they went through it, what, four straight times?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so...
That's like 25 plus meetings over, it, finals meetings over finals four meetings. Years.
Exactly.
It's so great,
Right, and I just don't think you can fake that. Like, it has to be in the finals for it to get to that level that I appreciate the Lakers-Celtics rivalry and that level of, like, you, by turning up the frequency, you turn down how special it is.
Each one is.
Well, and you do turn up, but you're right, that you do turn up the capability for there to be things that happen between the actual players. It's the type of thing where the type of way I see the Celtics, they'd have to play in the finals a second time for LeBron and AD and all, or just like for the Lakers to hate this current version of the Celtics. You have to actually go through it in a series that matters, which I guess you could argue the playoffs would be. It's just not as special to me as the finals.
I'll make this point another way. The Lakers-Kings rivalry feels a lot bigger because in all of those years, they played against the Kings 11 times over the course of that year. And then sometimes they would see him in the preseason, right? There was the one year where in the preseason, Shaq fought like half of the Kings in the Staples Center's tunnels, right? So like that rivalry that existed there, and then kind of is kind of simmering right now, but isn't still kind of boiling over the way that it did over that 3 year stretch or whatever, 4 year stretch. Well, that existed and ran as hot as it did because those players legitimately hated each other on a personal level in a way that I'm not positive, especially players of this generation, can really hate players of, because they're the Celtics. I don't really see Lakers of this generation, unless they see him a bunch, I don't think they really can hate the Celtics just because we're told, okay, the fans tell us we're supposed to hate this team, but
it doesn't work like that.
But we don't really actually hate those guys, you know?
No, I get where you're coming from, and the Sacramento point is well taken. Just to me, the Celtics are the final boss.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the Kings were never the final boss. Even in all of those years, they were a Western Conference rival, and you knew that whoever won the Western Conference Finals would win the title. But even then, they weren't the Celtics. They couldn't be the Celtics. And that's why they're the only team where I kind of like, I don't really like that idea. The idea of the Lakers playing against them. I could do any of the other 28 teams.
Yeah.
But before the finals with the Celtics just feels weird. That said, I am overall a supporter of the 1-16 idea, just outside of this year on principle. But bring it this year as a Laker fan, right?
All right, let's take a quick second here. When we come back, and there's going to be plenty of details that kind of come to the forefront here, as has been the case with all of this stuff. So I'm sure this isn't the last time we're going to talk about the 1-16 seeding. We can come back to this and get into some greater detail about some of the matchups that the Lakers could potentially see, all of that stuff as we kind of go along. We do have a ton of questions, though, that we have to get to, so we're going to take another quick second, come back, and answer those. All right, I've answered this one already, so I want to know your thoughts on this, Pete. So this is from WillTheChill_. Hey guys, I'm a teenager that always followed LeBron wherever he has been. What are your opinions on bandwagoning with one specific player rather than bandwagoning with teams like the Warriors? Also, because this is only my second year as a Laker fan, I've learned a lot by listening over the last few months. I still don't know much Lakers history. Could you guys do a show where we go through the entire Lakers history? What is the name of Pete's podcast? Pete, you have a podcast?
Yeah, it's the Laker Film Room podcast.
But we've done some Lakers history stuff already, but I'm interested in your thoughts on, because I think we're starting to see a lot more of this. The superstar bandwagoning because of the amount of player movement throughout the NBA. So how do you feel about that as a trend?
I like it. It's not how I grew up. So I grew up as a Lakers, 49ers, and Yankees fan, as many of you know, if you've listened to the show for a while. And I was more into all three sports when I was younger. Basketball was always my favorite, but I loved playing football, playing baseball. Baseball was probably my best sport. Like, I made all-star teams and stuff in Little League and all that. But basketball was always my favorite. And as I've gotten older, I believe in what the Lakers stand for. So it was easier to keep them than the Niners and the Yankees and just baseball and football in general. I believe less in what they stand for than what I do the NBA and the Lakers. So for me, there is a personal attachment to the institution, to the organization. But just from a personal standpoint, you heard some of this on the last show where we were debating about the bubble. I'm very fiercely pro-individual versus pro-institution. And I think it's people that matter way more than institutions and organizations and all of that. So along those lines, like, if you love LeBron, you believe in the type of player that he is, man, good on you. Follow him, you know, follow him to the different teams and do that. That's not the story of my fanhood, but I got no problem at all. And I think it's kind of cool if somebody else does that. It's just not the way I do.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I dislike that version of fanhood. Like my best man, actually, at my wedding, his favorite player was Peja Stojakovic, you know, when he was growing up. And then when Peja went from the Kings to the Mavericks, he followed Peja to being a Mavericks fan and then eventually became a Dirks fan and whatever. I guess my one request in this sense, and this is where I think Will is doing this right, is that once LeBron arrives to an organization, do your best to kind of inform yourself on the organization itself and buy into the teammates and stuff. And because one of the things that I kind of dislike when I see this type of fanhood is everything is, and we see this a lot in LeBron fans and in Steph fans and even Kobe fans back in the day, where if something goes right, it was all Kobe. This is why I'm a Kobe fan. This is why I'm a LeBron fan. This is why Steph is a system, right? Hashtag Steph season. And, but then if things go wrong, it's, well, fuck the Lakers then. Free and broke ass. They have to get a PPP, loan, broke ass organization or freaking Powell wasn't even that good because I was a Kobe fan and I want Kobe to get more, adoration for his championship. Or, you know, in Steph's case, somehow the argument has been made that Steph is a better player than Kevin Durant, which is just objectively false, right? And so my thing is, if you're going to be a Steph fan, if you're going to be a LeBron fan, or if you're going to be a player fan over a team, still kind of try to root for the team, right? Outside of what it does for the player that you happen to be following around.
Well, I mean, they go hand in hand. If you want to stand for a player, and your ultimate goal is to win arguments with your friends about why LeBron is better than Jordan or Steph versus Harden or any of the countless versions of this.
Yeah.
And that's really what you spend most of your fanhood doing. First of all, that, like, there's a lot of cool shit about basketball that you're missing if that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
First, if you're going to do that, I think everybody, fans and media alike, would be well served to watch more basketball. Like, it will enrich your experience. You will enjoy the sport more. You will enjoy your team more. You know how much cool shit LeBron does with his feet when he's attacking the basket from the perimeter? He does all sorts of clever stuff where he switches his foot midair as he's mid dribble. So when it used to be his left foot that he's going to be pushing off of, now it's his right foot. And it's this really quick little efficient movement. That's cool shit. And if you like LeBron James and you're a LeBron stan, like, get into basketball. LeBron's a genius. Yeah. Like, LeBron is a basketball genius. Mm-hmm. But if you don't understand basketball, you just know that in a global general sense, right?
Yeah.
If you understand how basketball works, you can see why LeBron is a genius. Right. And all of the different versions of that. And guess what? That's going to help you win your dumbass arguments too. So watch more basketball, learn more about the sport. I agree with you that that's a toxic side to it. I also do think that if done properly, it's a gateway to learning more about the game, where rooting for the team may be more of a 5-on-5 thing. If you're rooting for a player, their personal impact, their footwork, their individual technique, that is a part of that 5-on-5, but it's also player development and player individual skills are this own world of basketball that people specialize in, just getting one guy to get better. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's a cool portal into just one of the many basketball worlds that there are. So yeah, it's toxic, but it can also be, I think, an interesting journey.
Let's go to the next question here. Jay Gomez 3 writes, do you guys see any way that Deion Waiters can make any impact on the Lakers if the season comes back, or is he just a break glass in case of emergency type player? Well, one way, I'm a little nervous about Deion going back to Florida. I'll just be completely honest, but I think this kind of completely ruined any chance he had at making an impact, especially if they're going to be dropped immediately into playoff play, working a guy in to a rotation in that kind of situation. I think it's just impossible.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. And I do think he's in case of emergency break glass player. That doesn't mean we won't need him, right? The value of Deion Waiters is that he can get his own basket from the perimeter as a ball handler. And LeBron is really the only other guy on the team that can do that at, like, Waiters is, I mean, AD is probably second, which is wild considering how tall he is, right? And like the ability to give somebody the ball 23 feet away from the basket, go get a hoop. Mm-hmm. Waiters is probably the third best guy on the team at doing that just right away. So if we need that, that's the emergency that you might need to break the glass for, especially if Rondo is not holding up his end of the bargain, which is totally possible. Mm-hmm. So if you need a Rondo alternative aside from Caruso, and you need that guy to be able to score, then Waiters is that guy. But ultimately, I agree with you that there's just not enough time to get him too incorporated.
Let's go one more question here, and then we'll get you guys out of here and enjoy the rest of your week. The LCM3 writes, hey guys, do you think LeBron and the other stars of today, such as Steph, Harden, etc., would survive in the NBA of the 90s with the illegal defense rules still intact? Also, do you think Magic and Jordan would thrive in today's NBA with the illegal defense rule gone? And can you play, you can play zone and double team more freely?
No. Okay. Steph and Harden and all those guys, yes, they would be fine. They would be, there are so many ways to look at this, right? Are we dropping the same player from today just back into the past? Because Steph's averaging, like, they always talk about it the opposite way, like, oh, Jordan would average 40 in today's game. Like, no, Steph would average 40 back then.
Back then.
We are better at basketball now than we were back then. Mm-hmm. People get better at shit. And all of the technical details, all of the footwork, all of the training. If you ever get a chance, Steph has this brilliant, you know how they do those master classes, I think, on YouTube? And they do it a couple of other places. Steph has one on shooting that's the best instructional video I've seen from a player. Hmm. That dude knows everything about shooting. People don't even realize the different levels to it, the different little bits of detail that the shooting checklist that can go 25, 30 things long of what you're doing with your feet, what you're doing with your pivots, what you're doing with your ball handling, the ball handling moves that you would use to shoot a step back going to the left, right? How that inside out dribble, as you're doing the inside out dribble, how you plant hard with your right foot. Like, Steph knows all of that shit. I've been trying to tell people this for like 5 years now. Basketball is amazing. It's like Jedi shit. If you understand the little details, or if you're into martial arts, it's got a lot of martial arts components to it, right? Where understanding leverage and how to use an opponent's weight against them, mm-hmm. things like that, right? We are way better at that stuff. It's not just we're bigger, faster, stronger type of thing. Now, would Magic and Jordan have benefited from similar type of development? Absolutely. But to me, LeBron, I've been watching a lot more of this season the last few days as the season gets kind of warmed back up. And LeBron, it's such a treat to watch LeBron because I'm old enough to remember Magic's game, and LeBron feels like just an evolution of that type of superstar, right? Like Magic 2.0, but he's faster and he's stronger. People forget Magic developed into a great shooter by the end of his career. He led the league in free throw shooting 1 year and was, I think, 86% for his career. It was in the high 80s, low 90s, high 3-point percentage toward his later years. And he wasn't that old when he retired because of HIV. But LeBron is that with more skill. LeBron's more skilled than Magic was, right? Yeah.
And bigger.
And he's more athletic and more athletic than Magic was. Yeah. But it is respecting the evolution of the game. It's not a, it's not an insult to Magic. It's not an insult to Jordan to say that, like, we should look at Jordan through the same critical eye that we look at every great player, rather than just the blind worship, right? We've gotten better at the game of basketball. And so if you're, you know, dropping James Harden back into then when teams couldn't help off of their man,
right? The way that they brought up the illegal defense thing, and I actually think it would help Harden.
Yeah, illegal defense, like, it's defense is better now in part because they can do more things. Yeah. It is not illegal for them to play off of their man. They have more flexibility. They can play onto him if they want. But back then you had to stay on your man. Mm-hmm. And if everybody's hugged up onto their man, you don't think James Harden, one of the greatest isolation players of all time, yeah, is going to be killing you? Hell yeah. Of course he'd be great back then.
I love the idea of an opposing coach seeing Steph shooting from like 40 feet or whatever, 30 feet, and just telling him, no, let him take that shot. He'll take it eventually.
It's a bad shot.
Like, I was kind of marveling at, cause the Lakers sent out a clip of LeBron shooting from like the edge of the Miami Heat logo when they played against Miami. Mm-hmm. And in The Last Dance, there's that clip of Jordan shooting from there and like all those guys shooting from there. And it looks like heaves, right?
Right.
And they're shooting that as like a horse shot. LeBron is pulling up there comfortably shooting, mm-hmm, it like it's no a big jump deal. Shot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And actually, now that we're already kind of on this, I find it one of the nerdy things that I enjoyed watching in The Last Dance was the number of guys who shot jumpers, but like full elevation jumpers, where, mm-hmm, they're jumping as high as they, mm-hmm, can to shoot three pointers. And right, you look at guys now, almost nobody shoots three pointers like that.
Right. Almost, that's a great observation.
It's, mm-hmm, just, and I think that's a big part why they're so much better at it nowadays, because you have so fewer things to worry about when you're not jumping as high on a jumper.
Yeah, it's fewer moving parts. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we'll go one more question here. Let's go. QBreezy12 writes, I love watching Lakers and Knicks home games because of the contrast of the illuminated court and dark audience setting. What are some of your favorite sports venues to watch a game, either in person or TV?
I mean, obviously Staples, you know, for both personal reasons, but also they put on a good, mm-hmm, presentation. I think the in-arena entertainment is a little dated, like the music and the, yeah, just kind of the presentation of that. But I do think that it's still a nice facility. Gosh, I haven't been to too many arenas, to be honest. So yeah, I don't have
a... We run into this.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have... This could go across different sports as well.
Yeah, I think... So basketball is kind of tough because even if you're watching... Like, especially if you're watching on TV, the arena is the arena, you know?
Right.
And you watch, you know, football, or you watch... Especially baseball. Baseball actually is, I wish they would just for fun sometime mess with allowing NBA teams to have variable courts, right?
Like their own 3-point line from 25 feet.
Right. So it was like Milwaukee's 3-point line would probably be set so that Giannis could hit him at like 5 feet, right? and then like Ben Simmons would actually attempt them in Philadelphia if they were in the key. So that would be fun to me, but baseball, you know, and it's not just like the dimensions of the field, but the dynamic in the crowd, right? And in LA, you have just these beautiful sunset backdrops when the Dodgers are playing in like a, you know, either an afternoon game that seeps into the evening or at the beginning of an evening game. It's just beautiful there. And then you got like San Diego has Petco Park, which is one of my favorite places to watch a game at, because you don't even have to be in the building to watch that game. It's nestled in downtown San Diego, and you could be up at one of the various rooftop bars that they have around there and watch them play and actually hear the game from where you're sitting up there drinking. You know, the cocktails are still pretty expensive, but it isn't $33 for a Bud Light, you know, and the food is even better. So I wish there was a way to kind of add this to basketball, but I think at the end of the day, while some, you know, the the Warriors' new arena is supposedly just this marvel of, I believe the acoustics are even better in there, which I would love to check out because I'm a bit of a nerd on that stuff. Mm-hmm. Obviously, MSG, I'm not going to go so far as to call it the Mecca. I think that's always just one of the, it's like calling McDonald's the Mecca of burgers, but I'm not going to go that far. And then, you know, I would love to check out, I would like to see Brooklyn's court in person. Cause they have that. It's kind of, it's like black and white and always looks like Pleasantville. I want to know if it looks like that in person, the way that it does on TV. But yeah, I would love to check out some of these buildings. I've heard Portland is a really cool place to watch a game. It's because the food scene out there is really good. I wish Austin would get more sports teams out here because I think it would open up a lot of eyes to how cool the city this whole area is. But yeah, that's one of the things basketball is kind of lacking.
Yeah. If I could jump on this from a different angle.
Go for it.
Watching a South Bay Lakers game is a lot of fun.
If you've ever
been to like a minor league baseball game, it's just got a different vibe to it, right, than a major league baseball game does. And the same is true with minor league basketball, which is what the G League is. Being able to be close enough to hear the players talking shit, to hear the floor rumble when they run up court.
And it actually rumbles.
Yeah.
Wild to hear.
To hear the coaches shouting out instructions. You can get really good seats for not too much. And then, you know, South Bay, they've got like a taco truck back there. There's a little bar. Go out and chill for a little bit. You know, it's a cool atmosphere. I will always unsolicited give my endorsement of going to G League game just because it's a fun environment. You don't see LeBron and AD and all that, but if you really love hoops, it's a cool place to be.
I mean, for like what felt like 5 years, you were able to go see Alex Caruso. I was also going to say, we also have to give a shout out to Summer League, which probably is not going to be Summer League anymore.
Yeah.
But if you're a basketball nerd, like if you just love basketball, you get there early enough in the morning, you get a really good spot, and you could stay there all day and watch, you know, close to professional basketball, especially if it's a year where, you know, it was a good draft the months before. You could really have a really fun experience where you have incredible seats that you would not come by for NBA games anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And the other thing too, is that you're surrounded by other just complete basketball nuts.
And for like watching a game with fans of 15 different teams or 12 different teams or whatever, however many are playing that day, that can be fun in and of itself. Right?
Enlightening, because it's like...
And these are like the most hardcore fans. If you're at Summer League, you're pretty hardcore, right? So everybody's talking like the most, it's like deep cut, like talking shit. Like, you know, like I remember I had a Philly fan behind me and I was calling, it was Ben Simmons' 1 year. And, you know, he was talking shit about their young core and I'm talking shit about my own core. And I was calling him Ben Simmons, Carter Williams, the whole game. And he was hot and he was talking shit to me. It's great. It's great.
Yeah, and then the other thing too is that like you could be sitting there, and if you have good enough seats, you're gonna be like arm's distance away from a general manager and not even know it.
Yeah, you know? and it's the seating is first come first serve, right? Like there's not assigned. I mean, there's some sections that you know you have to work for the NBA or something where they have it roped off, but most of the seating in the arena is just get there early enough, claim your spot, watch a few games. Lakers play usually in the night game because that's what they want everyone to stick around. Mm-hmm. And now you got third row seats to watch the Lakers' newest draft pick. You know, it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you guys so much for your questions. Reminder, if you guys have a question or a topic that you want covered, send it in the form of a 5-star review, and I promise we will get to them either for a Mailbag Monday, and those are going to start returning. This was a little different because we had the holiday, obviously. But, you know, as we get closer to the season potentially resuming, I'm sure you guys have a ton of questions on that. And then we have, hopefully, if we don't get any big news, Pete and I have a what-if topic for tomorrow's show that I'm actually really excited about. And I think you guys especially, once you see the title of it, are going to be excited about. So have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Head on over to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. Save $10 off your first order there. Make somebody else's. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.